Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to a special edition of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin Alhassan. I'm coming to you live from the Centurion Lounge at LaGuardia Airport. Everyone's picture is mad small, so I can't see. I think I just saw Trey raise the roof. I'm not sure.
I did.
Okay. again, patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you get the podcast all at once and not these little snippets that we give out for free all throughout the week. Make sure you're getting in the watch parties, the watch-alongs, access to the Discord, all that stuff. All right, let's get right into it. This felt like a filler episode. It was a filler episode. There's a whole lot of, like, when he comes to Detroit, everything's great. Oh, in Miami, he's such a family guy. I'm like, it's not moving the story forward. There's just a lot of random facts about him. I am surprised that they talked about Lil Meech, but they didn't have him on. Again, like, what's going on here? Why is everyone available except, like, you know,
Terry and Lil Meech at the time? To be honest, I think he was in jail at the time.
For that jewelry shit?
For the jewelry shit, because he got bailed out. It was $1 million bond.
Remember when he got caught up with the jewelry shit?
No.
He did some scamming shit.
Allegedly.
Damn. the nigga was about to go down. He got up out, he bailed up for the thing. I don't know if his case still pending. But that's what held up everything else.
Yes, that is why BMF season 2 has not been filmed yet, and they're just doing it now. Yes, that is.
Man, my man was in
and
everything.
You thought this was a filler.
Yeah, I didn't feel like there was enough. Like last episode, the story moved forward like dramatically. And now this one was kind of like reiterating things they said in the last episode. Yo, we got a lot of wiretaps.
But they reveal who the first two people to flip were.
At the end, they give us the people who flip. Which, by the way, I did not expect. Not the car dude. Car dude flipped easy.
We knew that. But they told us the car dude flipped. Like a couple episodes ago first talked about her. Yeah, so apparently he was on their payroll for like, I think they said like 2 or 3 years or something.
Yeah.
So, the other boy is the one that shocked me.
Oh yeah, the young
Omari or whatever his name was.
Yeah. Old dog.
Niggas be snitching. Like I don't understand that shit, yo.
I mean, it's inevitable, man. That's why every criminal.
Jerv, stop acting like you ain't gonna snitch, dog.
I'm not living that life, player. I'm a civilian.
But that's what like, I'm saying. If you was living that life, bro, you're not taking the triple digits. You're not taking digits.
We
had this conversation every time, bro, when we do the snitching conversation. If Haven, whatever age she is now, and niggas say, hey, Jerv, I mean, if you're not going to talk, we're going to give you 25. You going to tuck them arms in that little sweater and get comfortable and just start seeing it, bro. It's okay. It's all right, bro. You ain't got to be gangster for me, man. I ain't gonna be mad at you.
I'm, my nigga.
I just know I can't personally do it. I'm going to have to go sit down.
Hold up. So wait. I gotta be the snitch, and you get to be the tough dude that's about to go
No. It's not. First of all, it's not about being tough. Family, I would be disowned. I'm just be honest with you, bro. That pedigree, my own mama didn't snitch, bro. And see him in the jail 6 times. It's just not happening.
I get all that, but I don't understand why in this scenario you get to not snitch, but I gotta be the snitch. I don't like that.
I'm not saying you'd be a snitch. I just think you got more to lose, family. That's what I'm saying. Like in a scenario, and you've already told me, bro. Like you're a nigga. When it comes down to so why are you arguing it?
I like to think if I chose to live that type of lifestyle, then I'm not going to snitch.
But I'm talking about tomorrow. If I'm in the car with my cousin and he doing some bullshit, we going. Regardless if I wanted to or not. Because if not, I'm basically losing everybody in this point. You feel me?
I mean, I like to think if I'm in that car too. Like I'm not just about to just snitch on y'all niggas. Like yo, they did that shit.
Nah, but if nigga give you a ride, like think about this.
Yo, let me get another Coke real quick.
No, but I'm saying if a nigga giving you a ride to somewhere, and you don't know what's going on, and you're a part, and now you're an accomplice.
Oh yeah, but that's different because I'm a civilian in the car. I ain't got nothing to do with the shit. I'm not snitching. That's not snitching. I'm just doing my civilian duties.
But you're gonna go down with them.
No, I'm not. I'm not going down with you because I'm a civilian.
This really happened to one of this really happened to my cousin. So I'm saying, if you're in a car with your other cousins and they ain't tell you whatever is going on, and you're like, "Yo, we gonna go to the store real quick," and the police stop y'all, and they take all y'all. What are you doing?
And again, I'm just a normal human being. Like, I'm not in the game.
No, you're visiting your cousin, bro.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, again, that's not snitching. I'm a human being. I'm a civilian, bro. Yeah, hell yeah, yo. I ain't got nothing to do with this shit.
We different, bro. You sick, bro.
But in the scenario that you're painting, technically, because of your family's history, even if you want to be a civilian, you can't be
that's
a civilian.
That's what I'm saying. I wasn't trying to make myself tough. I wasn't trying to say.
Like, is it Amin snitching? Would you say Amin would snitch?
Hell yeah, you don't care about niggas.
Yeah, that's true. Amin don't give a fuck about
it. Ask Amin, do he care? He not Charleston White, but he don't care about niggas. God, he don't care.
Yo, this nigga got us out here like Wallace, and he's weebanging shit, nigga. I did that shit too.
I'd be like Nino Brown.
Hey.
I'd be like Nino Brown, man. I'm naming names, people.
Hey, I'm just
being. Took out my man Kareem Akbar.
Hey, I'm just being honest, Jerv. I know what it is because you know how like Game of Thrones or whatever, like the mafia movies where niggas is like, they give you the kiss of death. Or like they're just no longer family. It would be me. Niggas would be like, bro.
Give you a wad of cash and now I gotta turn my back on you.
And shoot me right after. Nigga. Niggas ain't even gonna let me walk 3 feet away, bro. No. No.
Yeah, at least in the mob, they give you money.
I always tell y'all what my grandma told me at 5 years old. I'm lying. It was 7 because I could remember it. I don't remember nothing from 5 and under. You could be anything but a cop and a snitch. That's it. She said you could be anything, nigga. You could be a lawyer. You could be a doctor. You could be a flight, you know what I mean? Whatever. Like, pilot, all that shit. But a cop and a snitch you can't be.
You could be out there working the streets, selling yourself.
Just go for it, bro.
Just make that money, Trey. Just don't let that money make you, though. All
right. But don't tell on your people. For real. I said, damn. And I done got jammed up maybe 4 times in my life. And I really thought about it and processed like, hey, this might be the one. This might be the one.
When I was flying.
But I will say this though, Jer. On some like shit, mentally, I don't think I can make it. Like getting in there, like if I had to, I'm on the bus, I get checked in, now I'm out of it. I'm going to be so cooked. Like,
oh, my nigga.
I don't think I can handle it. I ain't going to pretend and act like
I'm shitting. As soon as I get there, I'm shitting in my hand and painting it on the wall. Like, they got to move me to the psych ward or something, my nigga. Like, you don't be having me over here with these real niggas.
Hey, I'm chilling. Hey, Jerry. You can ask Beezy, right? I had a situation I had to turn myself in. I remember playing a game. We hung out. I said, all right, I got to turn myself in to Compton County. I didn't use a bathroom for 2 days of me. I got out with the little karate sneakers.
Your stomach was fucking jumping.
Bro, it was the metal toilet.
In the middle?
No, it wasn't in the middle, but it was against the wall, right?
Oh, okay.
Nobody fuck with me. Everybody was just kind of like just chilling. You feel me? But like, I was so like stressed because I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. So I'm just staying, you know, like how like they do the Fresh Prince shit where they're like, it's your call. I didn't even, the crazy thing about it, I didn't even have a call. Like it was one of them shits of like, yo, you remember the number? And I didn't remember numbers. I still don't remember numbers to this day.
So I'd be fucked right now if I had to call somebody without my cell phone. I don't know anybody's number.
So DZ was my only form of contact. Like if anybody comes looking for me, he turned himself in this other day. right? If he remembers. That's a whole nother thing, because they could probably do some bullshit to this day. But I remember it's walkable to my house. I walked out. I walked back to the house after I, you know, pretty much got released. I don't know if anybody ever told this story, but if I ever told the story, but yes. I didn't have beef with my grandma, but she lied and said that I stole my great-grandma's identity. And they came to the house looking for me. So what they were going to do, and this is a crazy thing, my grandma got me a cell phone at 18 and put it in her name, but she had dementia and said, like, I don't know what it is. You feel me? And I had to turn myself in, fool. So I did that shit for 2 days, didn't use the bathroom. I said, I can't do this. I can't imagine a nigga getting, like, what Young Thug and them niggas dealing with, where they got to wait and potentially don't know.
Oh, yeah. If I was them niggas, I'd be taking shits all day. No, I can't wait that long. Nah. Taking them smacks.
That's why I always tell people, jail not funny. Niggas going to jail, never funny to me. It's never funny to me because I just be like, yo, that shit is.
Unless it's R. Kelly.
Yeah, fuck that nigga. Bill Cosby, too. Fuck that nigga, too.
Hey, they said they stars in jail, though.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
Coming up to them, asking them.
I bet you R. Kelly is a star in jail. Perform, nigga.
Perform, nigga. Crazy, dog.
Yeah, R. Kelly probably that bitch performing on demand too, like demand, nigga. Make me laugh, clown.
For extra chocolate cakes is crazy,
and an extra smoke. This nigga R. Kelly probably fucking back to back Newports. All right, let me leave this man alone because I don't want nobody.
I'm crazy.
Cool. I don't want no problems with the aura.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodles is like,
ah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Oh, no, I definitely wanted to mention this too, man. I've been dealing with mad death the past 10 days and I almost skipped a pod, but it's better to just laugh and do shit. And I watched this one interview. Shout out to my man Chasing Cash. He has sent it to me. And it was talking about the average person lives 78 years, right? Jerv, how often do you see your parents?
Almost every day.
So you, out of everybody that you know, luckily takes advantage of this situation. You know what I'm saying? But for me, thinking about, I see my mom maybe once a year. You know what I'm saying? And when you factor that in, you think about the life expectancy of 78 years. My mom, 53 right now. She's the same age as Jay-Z. Happy birthday, Jay-Z. And you do the math. And you think about, if I only see my mom once a year, and for the next 15 years, I'll only see my mom 15 more years of my life, of her life. That's crazy to think about. But I also have to be mindful of time. Time is not fucking like promise, for one. I mean, we all think that we got this time. You know what I mean? We lost Hovain at 40. And I thought I was going to grow old and see the homie and be joking for the next 30 years. And unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. And my whole perspective has changed in like trying to process death, not only one death, but three all at the same time. For you guys that don't know or are listening, my stepmom passed away on Thursday morning. So I'm in the process of that, trying to understand all this shit. But I've been looking at life a little bit differently, right? And I'm a person that don't cry. But I feel like, Jerv, I don't know how you handle death sometimes, but I feel like even the process of like the guilt of like trying to do normal shit, and then people be like, damn, why you ain't crying or why you not sad? And you just trying to like go on with your everyday shit. And it's a real battle, you know what I'm saying? Because like even work, it's trying to make me take days off. And I think I'm going to do it, but it's also just like a battle of trying to do that shit. And sometimes you have to do shit to like take your mind off things. But then you also have to sit with this stuff and allow yourself to hurt. So not to go like all morbid, because we was just joking about jail, even though we just said jail wasn't funny. Yeah, I just was curious about your thought process on, like, processing death.
Death's a wild thing to me. I guess I've seen it enough where it's got to be someone that's really, really close to me for me to be a visibly emotional. But one thing I've learned via going through things myself, being around people to go through things, tragedies and so forth, is that everyone handles things in their own way. Right. And the one thing that I've recognized whenever I go through things is that laughter is literally the key. Laughter is definitely the cure. It doesn't make things go away, but at least allows for those couple minutes or that hour or whatever the case may be. It allows you to be able to just be free for a little bit and not have, because whatever you're going through is literally waiting there for you when you're done. So I don't judge people, how they process things, how they go through tragedies and things of that nature. Because if this is death number 33 for you and you're 33 years old, but you know what I mean? To you, it's like, all right, well, who's next, right? But for a nigga who's 33, who ain't never had nobody die, you know, they're going to have that reaction of the world is ending. So, you know, I like to just give people, I don't like to, when people go through things, I don't like to over, I don't like to overstep. Yeah. I do my initial, hey, you know, let me know if you need anything. And, you know, a lot of times people think that shit is just speak, but to me, it's never speak. It's more so, you know, like my whole thing is I'm going to give
you validation of support.
Yeah, like, yo, however you want to handle this, dog, like, if you want to smoke, if you want to drink, if you want to play a video game, if you want to sit here and not talk or whatever, like, however you want to do it, you know what I mean? If you want me to, you know, the fuck with you on it, I got you. You know what I mean? Like, that's how, you know, what basically whatever it is, man. So I'm real, you know, whatever when it comes to those things. And then, you know, and then also just, you just never know what to say to people, man. You don't know, you know, like, I don't know. When someone loses a parent, you know, knock on wood, you know, I haven't yet. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm getting close to the age where it's got to happen at some point in time in my life, but I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? Cause I haven't been here before.
Right.
You know what I mean? So me telling you, oh man, I know how you feel. Like, I'm just literally lying to you. Cause I have no idea how you feel. I can imagine, or I can think I can imagine, but you can never really know how someone feels about those things unless you really, really go through. To me, that's just how I look at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, for me, basically, I'm numb. I've been numb for a long time. But what hurts me is every time I talk to my little sister and not being able to replace the pain or to step in and be able to put her at ease. I think that's been the toughest thing for me. And, you know, the question is like, yo, how are you doing? And I'm like, honestly, man, it's up and down. It's like an emotional roller coaster because, again, you're trying to support somebody that you love and care about, and you really can't. Like, it's nothing materialistic in this world that can fix that shit. You feel me? Like, she never gonna have her mom back. You feel me? And we lost our dad so young, to a point where she's uttered the words of like, I'm alone. And I'm like, nah, you got me. But like, I get it from like a paternal standpoint. And I felt that same way when I lost my great grandma who raised me, even though my mother's alive, you know what I'm saying? So I totally get it. And I'm just trying to, you know, help her process all this, but also be there when she needs me, you know what I mean? And she don't have to be quote unquote strong. I think that's the thing that's been such a negative right now, because I don't know if it's just our culture or anybody else where it's like, you need to be strong. And that's why my hand tat says boys don't cry, because I was told that so often. So I pretty much turned off my tear ducts, dog. I can't cry. I'm all cried out. You know what I mean? I've been cried out since I was a teenager. So, you know, thank God for fucking therapy and good friends that you can actually vent to move on, man. And like I said, as we go into this week to bury Hovain, that's going to be tough. And then I got to go into the next week of planning this funeral for my stepmom. It's just, like I said, I'm aware that everybody on this planet is going to pass away at some point. I think my biggest fear, or just kind of hitting on the morbid end, is like accomplishing everything I wanted to do while I was here. So, you know, I think that's my task right now. So trying to make everything in every moment count. And on that note, for Big Jerv, for Mean in the Sky, I'm Black Trey. And this has been an episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. We'll catch you next week. Subscribe to the Patreon. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Don't bootleg our shit. Support black businesses. And we out.